question is, if you're walking down the street and you see a knot from... Oh, this definitely doesn't have to be recorded. And you see a knot from boy, and he comes over and he starts talking to you. Are you going to try to convince him to keep Shabbos, or are you going to tell him, no, it's working, everything's good?
Depends.
It depends? Yeah. He's talking to you already. So what are you going
to
do? He's going to ask you your opinion about whether he should keep Shabbos. You're going to say yes or no?
I don't know. A lot of people just throw a lot of
parts out. Okay. So I was actually in Mexico. I can't give any details because it's on the thing. And there was a boy who asked me about Shabbos. To make a long story short, he's going to yeshiva next year. But the question's like this. Every person who's sitting in this room hopefully believes that this yeshiva has something different, as the Shiva used to always say, better, worse, but different than other places. And therefore, if you're a believing Jew and you think that Shabbos is something, and this person's missing out on Shabbos, you're going to try your best. You might say the best way to do it is not to be confrontational. Okay, but your goal is that he should keep Shabbos because you know it's better for him. So every boy sitting in this room, if they believe that learning in this yeshiva is better, so then there's absolutely no reason why the boys in 12th grade, boys in other yeshivas should not be coming here. You are the ambassadors to reach out and say, listen, it's going to help you also, by the way. Because if there's more chevre, it'll be more things. In CCJ, there's two boys who reached out to like every branch to try to convince everyone to come. So they went over to the branch yeshiva and said, listen, we need guys. You know, it's hard to have a basketball game if you don't have 10 guys. You know, some people actually sit in the base medrash maybe. So we need to get more guys. And they literally, the best recruiting ever in any of the years. No one got on a plane. They called people and they explained to them, if it comes from you, Rabbi Akiva goes, he can make a great case. He walks out and the next guy comes in and says, but we'll offer you scuba diving or skiing or, you know what I'm saying? That's what you have to do to go to yeshiva today. You're going to say, it's going to be a great shiur. You're going to learn a good size. Okay, you know, skiing, you know. And I bring skiing to Miami yet, Emir Tzashem. Don told me that they're going to be bringing skiing here soon, but it might take a few years. And then, enrollment is going to shoot up season passes to the Miami Dream. And in New Jersey, we have the American Dream. Okay. So the first question is, there's a machlokes in the Gemara on Daf Tzadi Tes in Sanhedrin. So that's just the Ma'am Mokum. The question's like this. If a person says, there's a rabbi, he's sitting in some corner, in some shtibel, maybe in North Miami Beach, in the Kollel, he's sitting in the corner and he's learning. He doesn't talk to anyone. He's not makar of anyone. But he's learning really, really well. Does he affect me sitting in Eretz Yisrael? Does he affect the guy sitting in Shanghai?
The Kedusha of his Torah uplifts the world.
It helps him. Yeah, that we could agree on. How about if I don't really see how much it affects me. He's going to sit and learn. So one more person, Baruch Hashem, there's 80 people or 1,000 people learning in Miami. So the one guy sitting in over there, does he affect me? So it's a machlokes in the Gemara. If you don't believe that it affects the entire world, what you are. So the Gemara says, someone who says, Maya hanilon rabonon. Rashi, v'heim einon yoidim, sha'olam miskayim aleihem. So he says, it's either apikoyos, or it's a megale ponim, but Torah shaloi kalocha. Rashi, shekoyfe b'ma shekose b'Torah. Im loy brisi yoyim v'layla, chuka shamayim v'oret loy samti, shemahanin lo'oylam, u'mikayim anoy soiv, u'oymer d'loy mahani midi. I agree, it's good for him. He's helping him. He might even be helping his community, but it doesn't affect me. The minimum is that we're not apikoyos, if we believe such a thing. Mehanin lo oilom u mekaim neisoiv hu oimed loy mahani midi. She mehanin lo oilom, that rabbi sitting by himself doing nothing except for learning, And a person could say that he's not helping. So let's say it's not a different person. Let's say it's myself. It's the same apikosis, and it's the same. A person has to believe that when he's sitting and learning, he's making a difference. Not a difference in himself. Even this apikosis believes that. But he's making a difference to everybody else. What's the nafkamina? There's a very, very, very scary two Rashis in this week's parsha. By me, I'm holding next week's parsha ready because in Eretz Yisrael, this Shabbos will laning next week's parsha over here. But B'chukaisai, it says, in B'chukaisai Telecho, everyone knows Rashi says that it's Shritei Amelim B'Teira. Toil. The Gemara says, Teira is a two-edged sword. L'maiminimbo, from the Loshon Yemin, Sama Dechai. L'masmilimbo, Sama Demovis. What does it mean, L'maiminimbo, Rashi? Ka'odom, Sho'isa B'yad Yemin, Im Kol Koichoi. Sounds like Amelus. What does it mean, Amelus? I work with my right hand, all my strength. What's the negative? Not as someone who doesn't learn. Someone who's learning with all the strength of a left hand. It's not all of his strength. He has maybe other things on his mind. Maybe, I don't know, so many other things that could be. But he's not 100% shakur in learning. So that's Sama Demovis. So let's follow the Rashi. So the Rashi has a shmuz, and I think that just following the Rashi comes out with a little bit of a chiddush. So it says the seven levels. The Hofer is Brisi. Where is this? The Hofer is Brisi. Pasuk Tazvav. Koifer Be'ika. Is a person, the Gemara says, who doesn't believe that the Talmud Chochem is making a difference in the whole world. So he's saying there's no Hashem. Hare sheva averis, hare shoynes, gereris, hashniya. Each one causes the next one. V'chein ad hashviyas. If you start with number one, you're going to reach number seven. But the stages, what are they? Loy lomad, a person didn't learn. If a person doesn't learn, loy yasa. So that we all know from the Mesir Yishon, Reb Shimon Bar Yochai's Shver Pinchas Ben Yoyen, what did he say? Torah mevil de zihiras. So, and after Zerus, you get to Zerizos. So if you loy lomad, it's loy osa. But what loy lomad? Rashi is saying it's the seven levels in this parsha. What does it mean, loy lomad? Loy hayu amelim b'teira b'yad yamin. If a person's not leading and learning, he's just learning most of the time, and when we say most of the time, we don't mean the quantity of time. We mean the quality of the time. Quantity also, but the quality, full concentration, yad yamin. So then he's loyosa. Loyosa, it's mois ba'achem moisim. Like the Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva used to want to bite people like a donkey. Why? Because he didn't learn. And like a dog, you let go. Donkey, like, hold on, and like, really, really break his bones. Because, chas v'shalom, the guy's learning. And if I don't learn, I'm going to have a certain hatred towards that. That's level three. Then I'm going to soine es hachachomim, because they're the cause of my problems. They're causing these people to do things. Then moine es hachem, it's not enough. I'll go over to another guy during Seder and talk to him, because if I'm not learning, so I'm going to be moine es hachem. After I'm moine es hachem, I'm soine es hachachomim. After I'm soine es hachachomim, I'm moine es hachem. I want to hold back other people from doing the right thing. Then I'm koifer b'mitzvahs. So what's koifer b'mitzvahs? L'chayru koifer b'mitzvahs means that I say desire Hashem. He created the world, and he doesn't care about me, what I do. That's what koifer b'mitzvahs means. It's not koifer b'ikar. Koifer b'ikar is number seven. So koifer b'ikar. So the Shiva asked, why do you have to kill God? Why can't you just leave Hashem, and he's in his own doing what he's doing? If he doesn't care about the mitzvahs, there's no sweat off my back. So Rosh Yeshiva answered that a person has to be, at least minei obey, honest with himself. A person cannot believe that Hashem created the world and he's staying out of it. So for a temporary stage it could last, but for long term it can't last. So what it says over here is that if a person is not ligging and learning, he's going to be a kaifa beker. Because if a person's not ligging and learning, he's lacking on the first step, which is going to cause the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh step. What's the solution? And obviously it's levels, it's not black and white. So the solution, l'chayre, is to be ligging and learning. There's no teirim yivir de'ez zeirus. There's no way to start zeirus. You can't start at stage two. And what we see from this week's parasha is that there's no halfway, there's no 90%. You're either going to get 100 on the test or you're going to get a zero. It's kaifer be'ikr or you're amelus b'teir. What is amelus? What's amelus b'teir? So, help me out. What about when I'm not learning? So I don't want to go on tape, but let's say there's a guy, Rav Scheinberg, right? So once we were talking and he said he asked how the Yankees are doing. So he said, why? Because since when he was younger, he was a fan. So even though many, many, many years, he probably didn't listen or follow. But he wants to know how it's doing. Yeah, you have a relative, right? And you hear something happens. You know, Chas Hashem, there was a fire somewhere. You want to know, was my relative okay? It's you're worried about it. So even when a person's relaxing and a person's not, you know, it's that concern is the underpinnings of what it means amelus b'tor. It's not just the actual toil. A person cannot work 24 hours a day on learning. It's not physically possible. In fact, if a person will make a neder that he's going to learn for 3 days straight, it's a Gemara in the dorm, slightly different, for 72 hours straight. It's a machlekes, you give him malchus an hour later, it's not physically possible to be straight for 72 hours. But it's an attitude. And l'chayr, it's mefurish in the Gemara in Baba Metzia. The Gemara says that Rish Lakish was a robber. You know, everyone has to make a parnosa. Apparently there was no yeshiva he could go open, and so he decided to go rob people, make swords, put it in the fire, then put it in the water, you know. And Rabbi Yochanan was busy learning. So Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, was he a Talmud Chacham who then became a robber? Or was he just a robber and then he became a Talmud Chacham? But either way, so he met Rabbi Yochanan in the river, and they had a little exchange. And Rabbi Yochanan convinced him to go and learn. He came to rob him, and he got him to learn. You have to be prepared for that eventuality. A guy breaks into your house and tries to rob you. You have to get him. Maybe you can come to the yeshiva, you know. And you might win. And then Rish Lakish wanted to jump out. He just did it 5 minutes ago. Maybe it was a 10-minute conversation, and he couldn't do it. And the Gemara says, because Torah mateshes koyche shalodah. But he didn't learn. He was in the river. He didn't learn. So the Masha explains, if you have a battery pack and you're attaching it to your engine, then you detach it from the engine and you attach it to something else. The car's not going to run. You didn't use it yet for the other thing, but once it's not attached, so you can either channel your energy into Torah or into physical things. There's a man, I don't want to say his age, he's quite old. He learned in Chofetz Chaim at the same time as Rabbi Naiman's father. And he went into business. He was very poor. And today he's a very wealthy man. So he told me he slept by friends. He never rented a apartment. Every penny to save to be able to buy his first property, to rent it out, to make money. He said, if I would have put in that amount of effort, I would have been the God of Lada. He said, it just meant to him. He channeled all his energies. So where you channel your energies, that's what it means. So amelus b'teira means practically, not the result, that I'm channeling my energies, that's what's important. Rav Shach used to say, you can't go to sleep if you have a kasha on the Rashba. Not because I have a checklist before I go to sleep that I answer all the kashas, but it's so important. I mean, if we understand that when I'm learning, I'm keeping the entire world holding. Now the question is, do you want to throw a ball in the hoop or do you want to save the world? Someone's drowning, you're walking down the river, and I say, but I'm going to be 5 minutes late to my basketball game. Like, okay, so let him drown. One person, there are 7 billion people in the world, and you're keeping them all alive, including the 14, 15 million Jews. It's a big responsibility. That doesn't mean you can't relax. But the mentality is, what I'm doing is the best thing in the world. Making money doesn't come close. Playing sports doesn't come close. Following sports doesn't come close. This is like, it's not even a havdil. It's a joke. Okay, I have a body, so you have to eat. You have to do things. Okay, but amelus b'torah means the recognition that it's impossible. Rabbi Yochanan convinced Reish Lakish to go learn. As soon as he did it, the body, it's not attached anymore. This is mundane. It's not shayach. You can't be both. The Gemara says, "Torah gdula lo yeh b'mokem mechad." There was Rabbi, there was Yechidei Segula that were able to have money. Rabbi Loza ben Charsun, right, is Mechayves Hashirim. He inherited 1,000 cities and 1,000 boats. He was very, very wealthy. He was whoever's the richest man in the world today. That was him. And he left it all to go learn. Why couldn't he just build himself a nice kollel building and learn there and hire a manager to run his property? He's not going to do worse. The answer is, if you're a little bit involved, it pulls at you. That's the metzias. So his only way of dealing with it was by leaving. A person can't say, I'm going to be involved in two things. You're not doing either of them with your full ability. This is what I'm doing. And a person has to decide he can't be two things. The same way a person can't be in two places. Maybe with a gomel pareach, he could be very quickly. Right? There's a concept of Edom Zomimin. If you were in California, you weren't testifying about something that's in Miami. If you're in skiing, you're not learning. If you're learning, you're not skiing. And if you're thinking about how to make money or any of these type of things, to that extent, you're not learning. So you'll say, but I'm learning? Yeah. What's the samadim of this? Like a person who's working with his left hand, there's a lot of people who could do very well with their left hand, but it's not the right hand. And that causes a person to be a kaifa baker. That's the natural consequence of what happens when a person is not ligging and learning. And what happened yesterday or 2 days ago, what our parents do and what the people around us do, is bichlal not an excuse and not a reason not to be ligging and learning. A person has to say, I could be ligging and learning. Not I could, I have to. I'm saving the world. From a practical standpoint, it's the most valuable way to spend a person's time. You're saving people, you're saving the world. But on a deeper level, for our own satisfaction, why did Hashem create the world? Hashem needs a world. Why did Hashem create the world? To do chesed. Just like Avraham Avinu, even when it was burning hot, he wanted to go outside and do chesed. What is our way of creating chesed? By connecting to Hashem and making the world worthwhile. That does chesed. This learning, when it makes everyone else on a high level, that's the best chesed you could do. It's anonymous. They're getting good and they don't know who it's coming from. It's Mamash the Rambam's highest level of chesed. You're doing chesed. When you're going into Shir, you're not just learning. Someone's going to ask you, what do you gain out of learning the Rashba? You're learning Ksubis. It's Chayiv the Ksuba, not the Ksuba. It's Tosefes Ksuba. It's Pogma, Zokov. Who cares? When it comes time to collect the Ksuba, you'll go to the rabbi and he'll tell you what you're going to do, which is anyways what you're going to do, because you're not going to remember was the Havamina right or the Maskana was right anyways. So you're not going to paskin based on the Machalik is success and Asivis anyways. The answer is it's not to understand. The purpose of the world is not to learn Torah. Hashem did not need people to learn Torah. It's to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yisrael v'araisa v'kud shabrichu, or Yisrael al yedei araisa kud shabrichu, chadu. There are religions that believe that there's three parts. I mean, we also have Yisrael v'araisa v'kud shabrichu. There's... Our goal is to be like Hashem. That's exactly why we were created. And when we do that, that is the only way a person can feel happy. Because fulfilled is the only real happiness. Everything else is temporary by definition. Every physical pleasure is temporary. So after time, you want more and more. Because I now feel empty. The only way, a person who has money, Mishi Yeshlein money, rates him the same. So if he has 100, he wants 200. How much is he missing? And this is where we don't learn math. He's missing 100. Right? He has 100, he wants 200, so he's missing 100. Now he got his 200. So how much is he missing? 200. So as he goes up and you see it in life, that the more a person has, the more he misses. But in Torah, it stops as a person learns and he has more, he wants more. But he appreciates it. It's coming from a different thing. I appreciate what I have, so I want more. It's like a person spends time with the Gadol, spends time with his father. So every time he appreciates that, it causes him to want more. But that's a healthy way. It's not, I'm missing, and therefore I need more. I have, and I want more of that. So that's the key. 2001, I was learning in the Chavetz Chaim Kollel, and there was a man who used to come and learn. He's not religious in regards to certain mitzvahs like Shabbos and kosher. He's very religious when it comes to honesty and other things. And he went through a very big setback. He lost all of his money. And the last little bit that he had, his whole life fell apart. He invested in some company. A year and a half later, they sold it for $60 million. So I think he got around 15 of it, and he bought a car. I don't remember the name, but it was like one of these exotic cars that looks really nice and really uncomfortable to sit in, and it goes really fast. And what you're doing in Queens with a car that goes really fast, I don't know. But when we made a Pidyon HaBen, he brought a purple car, and the Rashiva asked if he can have a ride in it. Rolls Royce or a Bentley, one of those, the Rashiva was very into cars, and he only had an Avalon, so, you know, he sees the nice car, he wanted to get a ride. So I blessed the car. So less than 2 weeks later, he shows up in a different car. So I asked him, my hi, like, it was a very nice car. I mean, if you like these types of cars. So he said, when I pulled into a meeting and I saw three of the same car, I just felt so upset. Here I did, I'm successful. And now there's three other people with the same car. So I said, I'll trade cars with you. No one else has a car like mine smashed in on the side. But he was getting into his car, and he answered the Gemara. The Mishnah says, Ezeu Oshir Hasamech Bechelko. And until that day, I never understood that. It's Ezeu Oshir. Ezeu Samech Hasamech Bechelko. Ezeu Oshir. Oshir means you have things. Shoyim HaMelechai Oshir Mikol Odom. It's referring to ownership. Not happy. So because you're happy, like, you still don't have anything. So the answer is, you have a car that costs you $300,000, and you get into it, and you literally have pain that you're not special, and it makes you feel bad. And the Avrech Kollel gets into his $500 car, and he says, Baruch Hashem, I don't have to be pushing the car. The car at least drives. So the door might need help to stay attached, but at least, so he has a car, and the other one has a pain in the neck. That's the pshat. Is there Oshir? Every person can make a decision now that from this moment on he's going to be shakua b'limud. Because practically speaking, that's the path to happiness. There is no other path. It's a pasuk. There's a great line from Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz. It says in the pasuk, Pekudei Hashem Yishorim Mesam Chelev. So someone in the Mir, at one point, believe it or not, didn't have 8,000 people. They had around 35. And so one of the Talmidim came over to Reb Chaim after the Shmuz and said, but look around. You have people who are not happy. So kasha on the Shmuz. How could it be Kudeshem? It's really kasha on the Pasuk. But if you quote the Pasuk, you have to take a chayes for it. So Reb Chaim says, Vuzokt. Who says they're learning? Person sitting in front of the Gemara, if you're digging and learning, it bothers you. You're not in a rush. You're not trying to finish the Masechta. It's just so silly. Like, you, a person lives X amount of years, 70 shana, 80 shana, 120 years, 170 years, 200 years. How many years do you really think you're going to learn? If you're rushing always to get to the next day, you never live. It's the same thing in learning. I need to finish the Masechta. For what reason? I can connect with Hashem just fine on this. Obviously, you have to learn at a normal pace, because otherwise you're not going to have understanding. And if you have no bikkiyus, you're not going to understand the Iyun. But there's no agenda. There's no rush. Where are you rushing to? So you're trying to understand Hashem. So I'm trying to connect. So you're sitting. You say, "Dad, let's talk quicker." You're enjoying the time you're speaking to Hashem. When you learn, Hashem is talking to you. When you daven, you're talking to Hashem. Now, really, it's a Gemara. Very interesting that the purpose of the world is not learning. It's black and white in the Gemara, and the purpose of the world is not davening. The Gemara asks, "Ma yase odom v'yechka?" So the Gemara gives a very simple answer. Yarba b'yeshiva doesn't mean you should sit. It means you should learn. If you learn, so then Hashem is going to open up the Ma'anes HaChochma for you. Yagatu matzosa. So Gemara is a kasha. Harbe osuken v'lo yolu b'yodom. Many people did this. Many people did it and it didn't work. Elo yispala l'misha HaChochma shaloi. Okay, so if learning is not the way to get wisdom, so then the option is to daven. Apparently, the Gemara had a mina that by davening, you don't learn a word, and you'll know. You'll know everything. Because you got to matzasa, so you could find it if you don't learn also. You'll daven. The Gemara asks, Chassidim Rishonim spent 9 hours a day davening. So how did they do work, and how did they learn? Mitoch shayu chassidim, hatoy mishamers. The little learning that they did worked. Here in the Havamina was probably something similar, maybe even more extreme. That by davening, the Gemara says, okay, but there's a lot of people who tried that and it didn't work either. So what's the way to be Chochma? Ela, ha, b'loy ha, loy sagi. Okay. I do not think the Pshat in the Gemara is, you could learn, you could daven, and you need two halves and that makes a whole. Because half and a half is zero. I mean, math, it adds up, but, you know, half a cake and half a cookie is not a cake and it's not a cookie. So what is it? So you don't have half learning and half davening, shouldn't be anything. So I think the pshat is, in the Havamina, the Gemara thought, the way to be, learn is you have to do ishtadlus in learning. You connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through learning. You listen to Hashem, that's how you're going to become smart. No, that doesn't work. Okay, so ask Hashem and He'll give it to you. That doesn't work. You have to have a relationship. A relationship is no different. It's two ways. Ha b'loy ha loy saki. It could be it's the davening that's doing it. It could be it's the learning. It's not either. It's the relationship. So if a person learns not l'shem shemayim, he's not going to have atzlocha. He has to learn because he wants to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he understands that he's keeping the whole world. What greater thing is that? This other thing sounds so meaningless compared to that. I mean, $10 is a lot of money, but if the guy just won the lottery ticket and he has 1 hour to go cash it in and he won $100 million, he's not stopping to pick up the $10 because it might cost him $10 million. So if a person's in the middle of learning and someone comes and tells him, do you understand that someone won, I don't know what game and this, or you have an opportunity to make money, so like, that's very nice. I don't really have time to stop for $10 when I'm busy with Nitzchias. Imagine how happy the person is on the way to go cash in his ticket. That is what we're doing day in, day out. And the only way that we'll believe it is if we do it. It's chitzonius maresas apnimius. The more credence we give to other things, exactly the less attached we're going to be to learning. It's opposite of logic. The more we give credence to other things, we're going to feel the learning less. We go, it will self-fulfill. The Esav Volbi, how do you get a guy to enjoy learning? So he says, learn. But he doesn't enjoy it. Soif hacheshek lavo. It'll come. But you have to learn. Like Reb Chaim said, kude Hashem yishom sam chelev. But you have to learn. Learning means ligging and learning. I don't have other interests. I might now technically need certain things to relax and this, and that's fine. But in the picture, what I'm trying to do is connect to the Torah. What is the biggest pullback from this? It is a pasuk at the end of Bahar. That's very interesting. It says, "Lo'isasu lachem elilim u'pesul matzev lo'isakimu lachem," and then it says, "Eshapsei se'tishmeru." And Rashi asks the question, why you have to repeat Shabbos, Avodah Zarah? Rashi says, the Mefarshim explain, it also means Gilui Arayos. Why would the Torah have to now, in the parish of Shemitah and Avodim, Chazer, Iber, all of these concepts which are Aleph, Mechuyev, Misa, and Beis, I think everyone knows them already. Why would you repeat it again? So Rashi says, "Kineged ze hanimka lenochri." Shelo yoimar hoil v'rabbi megala, right? It doesn't mean his rabbi, it means his goyish master. So there's a Jew. He fell in very, very hard times. He couldn't even find a Jew to buy him. So he had to sell himself to a goy. And now he's in the house of the goy. So he's going to say, my goyish master is doing Gilui Arayos. I should be like him. My master, this goy, is doing Avodah Zarah. I should be like him. Since my master is being Mechal Shabbos, I should be like him. So before I say the main point, I have a question. Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, I understand. Peer pressure. If there's a guy sitting and talking in Seder, and you're not going to talk back to him, what are you saying? I learn, you don't. So peer pressure. You can't act better than other people around you. It's hard. But Goy Sheshavas is Mechuyev Misa. So this Goy is finally doing the right thing. He's supposed to be not keeping Shabbos. So what are you going to learn from him? You should be a good Jew, just like he's being a good Goy. The answer is peer pressure means when you see something, even if the situation is different, you're standing next to someone who's doing something, even though he's doing the right thing. You're standing in a room with someone who's working and that's what he's supposed to be doing, it will rub off on you. You're going to feel pressure to do what he's doing. If everyone's wearing glasses, you're going to feel funny not wearing glasses, even though you don't need them. If everyone is doing something, right or wrong, and this can be used to influence us to the good. When everyone's doing something, there's a natural pressure to go and do it. And that's why it says these psukim. So I have a question. The problem I understand, there's going to be tremendous peer pressure from my master to do Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, and even Shabbos. So what's the answer? Tell me again. Okay, we really want to start learning really stark tomorrow. Okay, we really want to start learning really stark tomorrow. So it's hard. So let's really learn stark tomorrow. How's that solving the problem? Your life is on the line. You machal Shabbos, you get killed. You do Avodah Zarah, you get killed. So saying it an extra time is going to help. So what's Rashi's answer? Keneged zeh. Maybe I should repeat the whole Torah 17 times and now everyone will do it. So I think the answer is very simple. If a guy wakes up in the morning and he wants to do Avodah Zarah, what's he going to do? He's going to focus, Hashem created the world. Avodah Zarah, he's going to learn the story about Avraham Avinu breaking the idol and putting the axe in the big idol's hand. And he's going to still want to do Avodah Zarah. And he's going to be befuddled. And he's going to be confused. And he's not going to know what to do. He's going to suddenly want to break Shabbos. And he's going to learn about the beauty of Shabbos, and it's not going to help him. So the Torah says over here, keep Shabbos. You should understand. Your problem is not with the Emunah. Your problem is that you're standing next to the guy. So you have to know where to channel energy. When a person has a challenge, it's not enough to say, I know it's the wrong thing, or I'm doing, I want to do the right thing. You have to understand, why don't you want to do it? If a person says, I want to learn starting now, so let's understand, why wouldn't we want to learn? Because otherwise we're not going to win. And the Torah had to repeat obvious mitzvahs to explain, if you're going to be in the house of a goy, you're going to have a problem. So, since the theme is Amelus and Torah, so the thing that we have to ask is, why would a person not want Amelus Batorah? So I think that the answer is, we're in the house of a goy, we're in Golos. Goyim uchadoyme, they value money. That's the Avodah Zarah of today. Things. And it affects us. Even yeshivas, they have to bow down to money because you can't have a beautiful building and you can't have boys sitting and learning without money, and sometimes you cross the line. And it's hard. And we're mushpa. You're in the thing. I heard from someone who was there, Rav Steinman, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Baruch Hu, went a couple of years ago to Europe quickly to give a speech. After the speech, a very, very, very wealthy man went over to him. He already had a few cars. And he wanted to buy a car. I think the car cost over $1 million. He always wanted that car. And he had a shaila. I have to say it the right way to get the message. Maybe it'll cause me some gaiva. I'm already very rich. I have a beautiful house. I have so many cars. To buy this car, it's like, even for rich people, it's like, it's a different league. So it's going to be gaiva. So Steinman asked him, can I ask you a question? How much do you learn a day? So he said, I'm busy with my biz. Get whatever cars you want. There's nothing to be a gaiva about. Right? Similarly, around 30 years ago, there was a girl in seminary who was about to go home, and she wanted a bracha for a shidduch, so she has to go to Mekubalim. So she looked up a bunch of Mekubalim, and by mistake, she got the name of Rav Scheinberg. And she showed up. She showed up, and she sees that it's a reshiva. She almost left, but she's already there. So she's going to ask for a bracha from a reshiva. So she has to come up with a question. I guess she was in a good Beis Yaakov, so she asked, what should I do when I feel gaiva? And he burst out laughing. After 2 minutes, he said, about what? So she said that was the best solution to the gaiva problem. Sometimes like, we create problems. Like, you came in, like you the car, the gaiva. You're buying the car because you have so nothing in your life that you're rushing after things. Go name a few buildings and you think you'll feel better. You're not doing anything. You're worthless. Your entire worth is that you can now start doing something productive. And you're feeling gaiva? You're twisted. It doesn't make any sense. Put things in perspective. The feeling you're feeling is not gaiva. It's worthlessness. You're running after things. So take a step back. And why do we feel? Because the world puts so much focus on how good you are in sports, on how much money you have, what you drive, what clothing. Like, just think about it for a minute. Forget about whether a person good-looking or not good-looking. But the clothes, anyone can go into the same store and buy the clothes. Like, you're special because you could actually put them on. Like, you get points because you know how to get dressed in the morning. Like, come on. Like, like it's not logical. But we have, and he knows how to. The store guy picked the clothing and gave it to him. All he did was pay for it. So you are who you are. But you can hide. If we decide that we want to learn, we understand that since not everyone is living and learning, it's going to be hard. And it's not because we don't want to live in Torah. We want it. Our neshama wants it. We want it. We know it's here. We're not apikuros. We're not this. We know that this is what's making a difference in the world. We have one problem. It's just not in vogue. So that's our peer pressure. We're in the goyish world now. And it seeps in, and even Jews, somehow, everyone's getting mushpah. Let's change that trend. In Shul on Shabbos, I'm embarrassed, I have to learn. Look at the guy, he's just sitting and learning. Look how happy he is. Let's change that revolution. Other people will see how happy a person who's learning is. And they're going to start learning. Have a good day.